Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of People Pleaser. It's my birthday today. It's January 24th, 2026. I woke up in bed today with the intention of having a nice, relaxed day at home. I had some editing I needed to do, some writing that I had been neglecting. I'm supposed to go away for the weekend with friends tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, kind of a weekend that bleeds into the beginning of the next week. And the first few things I saw in bed were some messages from friends and family members wishing me happy birthday. You know, I slept in. I didn't wake up till like 11 because I've been kind of fighting off a cold, and I want to make sure that my cold is gone by the time that I head out of town tomorrow. And then I opened up social media. So we're going to have to talk about what's going on in the world right now and what happened today. So that's what the show's about today. From a Blanket Fort recording studio in a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood, this is People Pleaser. I'm Austin Archer. And today we are talking about the terror of state-sanctioned murder. Normally, I edit this show a lot before it makes it to the public. I cut out a lot of dead air and I cut out a lot of space. I don't think I'm going to have the time to edit the show as thoroughly as I normally do this week. I think it's going to come out a lot more raw and a lot more unfiltered, kind of the way that the TikTok Digital Studio audience is seeing it right now. We've got almost 200 people in the TikTok Digital Studio audience. Everyone is feeling lots of emotions today. People are sad. People are despondent. People are at a loss. People are blindingly angry. People are terrified. And I am as well. I don't really know what to do with my emotions. So I'm trying to. Somebody said in a comment on a video I posted, they said, "Thank you for letting us grieve with you," because I posted a video, a 5-minute long, just sort of recounting of what we all watched today, just to make sure that I'm just one more voice reiterating the true account of the video. And somebody said, "Thank you for letting us grieve with you," because I was emotional in the video. I've been crying a lot today, a lot more than I usually do when news like this breaks. I watched the video and I guess I expected it to be bad. I thought I'd seen everything. I've seen so many bad videos in my life and I wasn't expecting that. It was just so clear and unambiguous and brutal and dark and immediately upsetting and undeniably traumatic and tragic. So I'm trying to just come to this with an honest expression of how I'm feeling today, which is I don't feel great, and who the fuck cares that it's my birthday? I don't, you know, I genuinely am not coming at this like, "Ah, darn, it was my birthday." I'm not one of those guys that can just like sort of bounce back. There was a moment there where I was like, "Well, maybe I'll try my best to like not work today, and I'll try my best to." But it was like, I just am like, I don't have that in me, and I kind of don't relate to people who do. When people are like, "Yeah, I know it's really sad, but you got to go out there and celebrate yourself today. You got to go out there and feel good." I'm just like, I'm gonna do that. I think I can get there tomorrow. I think when I go out of town with my friends for the next few days, I can like get there and be like, "Hey, let's just try to like have a good time despite the horrors." But today I got to feel this. I can't not feel it. I don't really have the ability to just turn it off. And I don't necessarily know that people should. You know, I guess everyone's entitled to process traumatic events like this in their own way. But to me, that instinct to dismiss it, to go, "Well, there's nothing I can do about that. That's way above my pay grade. That's out of my control. And I'm certainly not gonna like torture myself trying to think of that somehow I should be responsible for having the appropriate reaction or fixing it somehow. So I'm just gonna Yeah, like it's like weird. Like my Facebook feed, you know, Facebook's like the place where people, and by the way, I've always been sort of blown away by people who wish other people happy birthday on Facebook, because I'm not a person who says happy birthday to people on Facebook. And it's mostly because like, if I were to do that, I would have to like do it for every single person that I'm friends with on Facebook, because I can't just like say happy birthday to some people and not the other ones. And it is people like as random as people who I've met one time in my life, or people I went to high school with, or people who like I worked with on one project 15 years ago. And what that says to me is like those people are saying it to every single person they know almost every single day. And like, kudos to those people, hats off to them. But I have all these weird messages today of people who are like, smile, it's your birthday. Hey, don't forget to go out and celebrate yourself because you're worth celebrating today. Hey, big guy, we sure are happy you exist. Sure are happy you're in the world. Sure are happy to know you. Hope you're having a great day today because you're a great guy. And I'm like, like, it makes me feel insane. Like, thank you. Those people are cool. I think it's cool that there are people in the world who do that, who, like, take the time every day to log into Facebook, see whose birthday it is that they're friends with, and wish them happy birthday. But it is so strange to me to get a message from someone who's like, hope you're doing everything you love today and like having the best day and treating yourself because you deserve it. And I'm like, did you not see? Are you not aware? First of all, do you not know what my job is? Do you not know like what I do publicly and professionally for work? And second of all, did you not see? Are you not a human being with eyes and a heart? I don't give a fuck that it's my birthday today. Thank you. I understand the gesture, but it's just so strange. It's just so weird. Okay. To start out the show, this is on my outline here. Alex Jeffrey Peretti. I need to restate this and just be another voice on the internet that is stating what happened, because the people in power, the people who control the levers of power, the people who control the media and control the money and the banks and the military, their narrative is so grossly inadequate, grossly inaccurate, and disgustingly untrue, like violently, heinously, infuriatingly, insultingly dishonest, that the best tribute we can offer Alex Jeffrey Peretti at this time, at least that I can offer as a person with some kind of platform, any kind of platform, is to just be yet another person making sure it is clear that we state the unambiguous true nature of what we witnessed today. Alex Jeffrey Peretti was 37 years old. I'm 38 today. He was an ICU nurse. That's what he did for his job. If you don't adequately appreciate healthcare workers, go watch The Pitt. Okay, everybody should be watching The Pitt. It's one of the best TV shows on TV. Alex Peretti decided to devote his life to helping people. And that's what he was there to do today. He was standing on a street with a cell phone out, not a firearm, a cell phone. Every picture, every video from every angle, even the videos and pictures that are being used by the Department of Homeland Security right now and by the chuds that support them, show him holding a phone. Not a gun. They haven't even had the indecency to use AI to edit the phone into a gun in their photos, where they're like, they're showing it like circled in the photo. It's a phone. Was filming from what I assume he thought was a safe distance. He's standing like 20 or 30 feet away from where this action is going on, from where someone is being pulled out of a car. There's a group of protesters standing around, constitutional observers, the same thing that Renee Good and her wife Becca were, constitutional observers who are there usually all the time when ICE does this. And by the way, for people who live in Minnesota right now, who live in Minneapolis, this is a daily occurrence. And these people are following ICE around with cameras because they want to be there and have it on record when ICE body slams people, when they kidnap 5-year-old children and refuse to release them to their family members who are saying, we can take care of them. We can take care of Liam. You don't need to ship Liam to Texas. We can take his family is here legally, and we can take care of him. There are people there with cameras to observe them so that when they lie to us, because they are going to lie to us, we can have the truth on record. And that's who Alex Preddy was. He was there to help, and he was there to film at a safe distance. As he's filming, a few bystanders who were also constitutional observers get violently shoved out of the way of the scene. They're not stepping in. They're not trying to, like, get they're just standing a little too close. Alex Preddy was standing at the safe distance. They got a little too close, so ICE comes over and violently shoves them out of the way. I made a mistake in a video I posted earlier. I said they just slipped on the ice because the camera angle I saw looks down and then looks back up at the moment where they're all falling over, so you can't see them being shoved. But they were shoved by ICE agents, and Alex Preddy does what he's there to do. There are two reasons why he's there. One is to film. Two is to help. He's an ICU nurse. These people get shoved over, and he gets to work helping them. Not retaliating against the ICE agents who violently pushed these people over. Not responding in violence, but running to those people to help them. He helps them stand to their feet, and while he's in the act of helping the second person get back on their feet, he is violently jumped, viciously jumped, by several ICE agents. And even while they're taking this man down to the ground, he's still trying to help that second person up. I can't get over it. I don't want to get over it. You know, I can't get over the image of him pushing through the three or four men that are trying to violently subdue him so that he can make sure the person he's helping gets to safety. They pin him to the ground. He loses his phone, and he reaches for his phone. His concealed carry, which he is a legal owner of, he is legally allowed to have a concealed carry, is tucked in his back waistband. Legal. At no point in the interaction does he brandish the weapon or attempt to use the weapon. This does not happen. All of the angles of video, of clear, objective, irrefutable video evidence show this clearly. This isn't even like blurry video. This isn't even like maybe, you know, like with the Renee Good video, there's that one angle where she pulls forward and it looks like maybe Jonathan Ross's hip gets bumped. Maybe. It's unclear. Can't be said for certain, but it's like maybe from that angle, from the one that's far away, maybe he gets a little love tap. And then maybe from his cell phone footage, we might sense that love tap on the hip hurts. That like, boom, he gets a little bump, you know? But like, but we don't get anything definitive. We definitively, with Alex Preddy, can see that the gun never leaves his waistband at any point. And then we definitively see the guy in the gray hoodie, the ICE agent in the gray hoodie, going up while he is being held down, arms being held down, completely detained. His back is exposed, and he can see the concealed carry tucked in his waistband, and he removes it, removes the gun. All of this happens in a matter of seconds. It's 45 seconds between when they initially jumped him and what happens next, which is they sort of back up and release him, and he rises to his knees, and he's shot in the head by an ICE agent who's standing looking at him point blank. And like a video game or something, we all watch as his head goes limp and his body falls to the floor, and then that agent fires four or five additional rounds into his lifeless corpse. And then now the videos have come out of them searching his body saying, where's the gun, where's the gun? Because someone must have yelled, gun, 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 something like that. Probably Gray Hoodie got over there and said, oh, there's a gun here. Not a gun that Alex Preddy had in his hand, a gun that he was carrying legally. I think it's important to say what happened clearly and honestly. I'm not the only person saying it. The videos speak for themselves. There are thousands of content creators right now with platforms who are saying the exact same thing. I'm just trying to be one more because the amount of institutional power that we wield is basically zero in the face of the federal government and their egregious, abhorrent, disgusting lies. And I think fundamentally and foundationally what's important here in this moment is to honor this man, Alex Jeffrey Preti. I think what's becoming more and more clear is that people like Renee Nicole Good and Alex Jeffrey Preti are heroes. Not in the way that the right venerates heroes, where it's like, you're a hero if you piss off the right people. If you make our ideological opponents angry, you're a hero. If our ideological opponents dislike you and are really, really riled up that you're going to be a hero, we're going to put you on a circuit, a speaking circuit, and we're going to pay you millions of dollars. Not a fake hero, not a hero that's propped up just to spite our enemies, an actual hero, a person with real courage, unfathomable courage. Can you imagine the bravery it takes to do what Renee Nicole Good and her wife did that day? To be in that zone knowing the danger they were in? Knowing that those officers don't care about the rule of law, are not bound by the rule of law, are not bound to honor their constitutional right to humanity and dignity and safety, and to be there anyway and say, I'm going to use the privilege of my white skin and put myself in this dangerous situation and film what's going on here. And that's all Alex Preti was doing, but he was also there to help. He was there to use his skills as an ICU nurse in case someone fell or was tear gassed or was shot with a rubber bullet or was tasered or was beaten with a baton or was shot. He's a hero. He's an incredibly courageous, incredibly safe, selfless person. It is an absolute national tragedy and an atrocity of the highest order that he is dead. The problem here is obvious. The problem is something we've all been aware of for the last 10 years. It is a problem that has been creeping and growing and menacing and terrorizing this country for far too long. All of this seems so inevitable because of everything we've been witnessing for the last 10 years. The problem is the Trump cult and their deranged, inhuman detachment from reality. Their humanity is so buried deep, deep down that I don't know if it can be reached. I don't know if it can be gotten to. The cult has been conditioned to forget what a normal human response looks like. They've been conditioned to neglect their human impulse to respond to something compassionately or empathetically. They've been conditioned so thoroughly that they see irrefutable, objective video evidence like this, and they immediately start working on the angle of how am I going to twist this? How am I going to turn this so that I can get on the internet and not just say, boy, what just happened is really sad, but not do that, but I can actually get on the internet and gloat and brag and say gleefully, I support what happened today. Fuck around and find out. That's what you get. I can just go out there and just blatantly lie, knowing that I know I'm lying and knowing that everyone else knows I'm lying because there is objective, irrefutable, crystal clear video evidence that proves I'm lying. But they have been so conditioned by their leaders that the truth is no longer a relevant or important thing, that the truth is just one aspect of an ideological battleground, and it's the tool that we use, and we're suckers for using that tool, It's Donald Trump playing golf, right? That book, Commander and Cheat. His philosophy is anybody who doesn't cheat at golf is a sucker. They're a loser. They deserve to lose. Anybody who thinks that you're going to get ahead in the world by honoring the truth and what's real is a sucker. And that is the credo of this cult. I know you all already know this, but just for anyone who remains somehow unconvinced in the year 2026, with everything we're witnessing, that this cult has been infected, has been taken over, that their humanity is not there. We're just going to go through some of the hot takes that we're seeing on the internet today. I mean, that was one of the worst parts about watching the video. One of the things that really broke my heart and broke me down when I first watched the video was thinking, what angle are they going to use? How are they going to spin this? How are they going to figure out how to lie about this when it's this clear? At least with Renee, they had the car. It was weak. It was bad. It was a really bad, really weak justification, but they had it. They could at least use the fact that, like, oh, she tried to ram an ICE officer with her car. That's what happens. The video evidence clearly disputes that lie. But again, these people don't care about the truth. They are in a cult of lies, a cult of deception. But at least they had the car to help them craft the lie. Watching Alex Preti, I just thought, what disgusting, horrible lie are they going to come up with? And when I found out that he had a gun tucked in his waistband, my heart sank. And unfortunately, my first thought was, fuck, why did he have to have a gun? Why did he have to have a gun on him? If he hadn't had that, they wouldn't have had anything. Like, why is there always something that they can cling on to? And then, of course, I realized the truth, which is not only is he carrying the gun legally, not only is it their position that American citizens should have a right to the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, a right to arm themselves and to defend themselves against the overreach of a tyrannical government. Not only is that their position, the conservative position, not only was he well within his constitutional rights to be carrying that concealed weapon, not only was he a legal concealed carry permit holder, but also he didn't even brandish the weapon. He didn't even reach for it. So even if they wanted to go, you know, well, he took it out, he didn't. So at that point, the gun, and not only did he not take it out, the gun was removed from his waistband before the shooting took place. It wasn't even there if he had wanted to take it out. All of the justifications that could be used around the gun are taken away, but the gun's still there anyway. And that's why I thought, fuck, why did there have to be a gun? I wish there was nothing for them to use, nothing at all. And then, of course, I had the terrible thought, even if there had been nothing, they would have found something. They would have dug up an old social media post where he said something that vaguely seemed like he felt some type of way about ICE agents, and this shows that he was a dangerous domestic terrorist. They would find something. It doesn't matter how pedantic or small or insignificant or irrelevant of a detail it was, they would find something to lie about this man. There is no scenario that could possibly be clear enough for these people to even consider embracing the truth and embracing what's left of their humanity. And that's because I don't think there is anything left of their humanity. But let's go through their takes. This is a man that says, it appears the dude shot first. Just a fucking lie. You know? Just a fucking lie. Like, in what video? In what world? This guy's comments were full of people being like, what? What are you talking about? And he was like, well, maybe we're not talking about the same video. It's like, what video are you talking about? Are you talking about Han and Greedo in A New Hope? Are you having that debate? What the fuck video are you talking about? There is one shooter in the Alex Preti video. One. It's the murderer. This person says, stop attacking federal agents doing their job. Cool, he didn't. Nobody attacked federal agents doing their job today. That didn't happen. Constitutional observers were there with their cameras out, as they have been every day since ICE took over Minnesota. Alex Preti was there as a constitutional observer, observing from a very safe distance with his phone, waving cars through the same way Renee Good did. The idea that a person like this could actually watch the video and think, well, he attacked them. He was attacking federal agents. That's the scariest thing about the cult and the infection that has taken root in their minds, is thinking, is that the way that they actually see it? Little bit of a spoiler, in the latest 28 Years Later movie, The Bone Temple, for the first time, we get a look at the perspective of one of the infected. It's an alpha named Samson. This happens early on in the film, so it's not a massive spoiler, but it's something that, like, we didn't know yet about the zombies in this franchise. This is a franchise that is now four films deep, and it's something that we've almost never seen in any other zombie movie. But early on in the film, we see what he sees. We see what the zombie sees, and he's attacking an uninfected person, and through his eyes, the uninfected person is a zombie, is the infected person that's like, so like from his perspective, he's attacking the monster, and it gives us this like, oh, okay, so there's some kind of like psychosis taking place as a side effect of the infection. That's part of what the rage virus does to your perception of reality. That's part of why the infected hordes act the way they do. And sometimes when I see the horde of infected in the Trump cult behaving like this, I wonder, is that what they actually see? When we watch the video of Alex Preti helping people stand up and being jumped by four agents, bare-maced in the face and then punched in the face several times as he tries to still help another person stand up. Do they see the opposite? Do they see a bunch of agents doing their job and then Alex Preti jumps on their backs, tackles them, sprays them in the face, punches them in the face, and then reaches for his concealed carry? Do they see like the exact fuck-ass opposite of what we're seeing? Is that what the infection does? Or does the infection just make you a shameless, unapologetic fucking liar? I genuinely don't know at this point. Like, the possibility that that is what's going on in their psyche is something that, like, I genuinely entertain at times, just because I think I prefer it to the alternative, which is like, no, they see exactly what I'm seeing, and they are consciously choosing to lie about it. And unfortunately, I actually know that they're consciously choosing to lie, because I recently had to cut a friend out of my life who I went to high school with after Renee Good died. You know, he commented on one of my posts on it and said something pithy that led me to believe that he was on the side that she got what she deserved. So I called him on the phone and I said, hey, you have my phone number. You don't need to just leave comments. If you've got something to say to me about this, say it. And he just said, well, I just think that you're kind of spiraling out of control, and it looks to me like you're becoming the villain. And as your friend, I'm just a little concerned for you. And I said, well, I think that it's villainous to watch a mother of three get shot in the face three times at point blank range, and then try to reverse engineer the video you just watched to figure out how she was in the wrong and she deserved it. And he started this conversation out doing a thing that these people often do, which is he tried to lie to me. He tried to gaslight me, and he tried to act very calm. I was not calm. I was very angry. And he was like, do you hear how you're yelling? Do you hear how you're like, you're just screaming? And he was like, buddy, like, I don't think she deserved to get shot. I never said that. You're putting words in my mouth. And I said, then what do you think? Why'd you comment what you commented under my video? And I said, first of all, I don't believe you. I do think you actually think that, but like, if I've got it wrong, what do you think? And he wouldn't answer the question, what do you think? He wouldn't actually tell me. He just goes, you're really like losing it, man. And I'm just telling you as your friend, like, it concerns me that you're acting like this. And I said, stop dodging the question. Tell me what you think. And I kept pushing him and I kept pushing him and I kept pushing him, and he kept trying to sidestep the question. And then I swear to God, it was like that moment in A Few Good Men when Tom Cruise is pushing Jack Nicholson and he just won't let him off the hook. He just won't let him get away with trying to do the act of being the calm, collected colonel who's just there, you know, just, oh, you're wasting my time. Colonel Jessup, you called me in here and I can't believe you're wasting my time with these questions about travel logs and William Santiago's travel habits. And he just keeps pushing him until the breaking point when Jack Nicholson finally says, yeah, I fucking did it. I did order the code red and I do it again. And that's what happened in this conversation. I swear to God, I pushed this guy. I pushed him. And I said, just tell me what you actually think. Stop fucking lying to me and just tell me what you actually think. And he goes, all of a sudden, the veneer of the performance breaks and he starts screaming and he goes, you know what I think? I think we live in a world of laws. And I think if you break those laws, I think if you try to assault officers of the law with your car, you deserve to die. That's what I think. And I said, there it fucking is. And that moment, even though it was just a conversation between me and this guy, and even though I hung up on him and I blocked his number and he is no longer my friend and never will be again for the rest of my life, even though nobody else was there to witness it, in that moment, I got a look into the psyche of what's going on in this cult. So I know, at least with that guy, that he is aware that he's lying. I called him on the phone, but he started out that conversation with the intention of gaslighting me, with the intention of making me think I was the crazy one. I was the one who was out of control, with the intention of pretending that it was not his belief that Renee Good deserved to die that day. And then only after I pushed him and pushed him and pushed him did he break and reveal to me, you know what? My actual feeling is that anyone who is my ideological opponent, if they're in the wrong place at the wrong time and they bother, it doesn't matter how minor the offense is, I want law enforcement to shoot those people dead. I enjoy seeing that. I revel in it. But then I get on the internet and I lie. I say stuff like, stop attacking federal agents doing their job, even though I know that's not what happened. This guy says, I love how this Jacob Frey guy conveniently dismisses the fact that the guy who got waxed today had a firearm and pointed it at police. You're a liar. You're a fucking liar. What video did you watch where Alex Preddy brandished his firearm and pointed it at police? And again, I've seen a lot of these accounts saying this stuff, sharing a photo where they go, boom, there it is. And it's Alex Preddy holding a camera, a phone. If a police officer, any officer, ICE officer, police officer, I don't care who the fuck, can't tell the difference between a gun and a phone, this and this, in 2026, you're not cut out for the job and you need to go to prison for murder. Here's another one. Hint for Minnesotans, don't shoot at police officers and you probably won't die. Now he's shot. Previous guy said that he took his gun out and pointed it at the police officers, not police officers, ICE officers, but that his words, not mine. This person also says, don't shoot at police and you probably won't die. Not police, ICE, but don't shoot. The shameless level of degradation here, the absolute unapologetic, shameless insanity of these people. Just a video that the entire world is watching. I mean, they might as well just be like, hey, he rolled up, opened up his vest, had a whole strap of dynamite on his chest, pulled the pin on two grenades, threw them at the ICE officers. We all saw it. Pulled out a fucking Gatling gun and started just letting them. We all were there. Here's another crazy lie. Armed illegal. Enough said. I support America and ICE. Alex Preddy was an armed illegal. American citizen who was legally allowed to have a concealed carry on his person. Again, you are the conservatives. You are the Second Amendment people. You are the people who every time someone murders a bunch of school children with an AR-15 and we say, can we do something, anything at all to regulate these firearms? You say the Second Amendment says I have a God-given right to have my guns on me so that I can protect myself against the threat of a tyrannical government. That's your position. And then when you see it, a man who's not even using it Not only is he armed and that's why he deserves to die, he's an illegal and that's why he deserves to die. By the way, neither of those offenses, this person says, enough said. Neither of those offenses, being armed, being an illegal citizen, means you get executed in public immediately. But he's allowed to be armed, that's legal, and he's not an illegal immigrant. I'm just going to state the obvious. You're not exactly a peaceful protester when you show up with a loaded gun and two full magazines. Was the shooter's intent to murder ICE agents? So this is the narrative that we're seeing from Kristi Noem and people like Stephen Miller and the federal government, is that because Alex had his concealed carry, which he is legally allowed to have, on his person, that means he was there with the intent to kill. We're obviously going to get back into the world of Kyle Rittenhouse and the hypocrisy of the right and why that's fucking absurd. But first, I want to take a look at what Kristi Noem had to say. Because again, I think that, you know, I think a lot of people would look at these accounts, and I beg you, if you've already written this comment, I beg you to go back and delete it and get rid of it. But a lot of people would look at these accounts that I'm sharing and go, they're all bots, dude. They're just bots. I beg you to resist that impulse. Resist the impulse to pretend like these aren't real people who really exist. Even if some of these accounts are fake accounts from conservative rage bait bot farms, even if they are representative of real people, they're representative of real people and real beliefs that real people have. There are millions of people in this country who are listening to the official narrative from the federal government right now and accepting it wholeheartedly, and are going on their personal social media profiles and parroting those narratives and adding to the lies, all manner of absurd lies. I'm not going to go through and make sure I hand verify every single account that I see and be like, is this a real person? Is this a real person? What they're saying are things that real people actually think and actually are saying. And I find this idea that, like, we should just pretend they don't exist to be so unhelpful. It doesn't do anything. When you just go like, nah, that person's probably not real, it's probably a bot, you're not doing anything. Do rage bait bot farms exist? Absolutely. Do we exist in an era where there's a lot of bot activity on the internet? Sure. Are there a lot of bots interacting with content on the internet today? Undeniably. Does that mean every single post you see on the internet from someone who's sharing an idea or an opinion that you find like blatantly absurd or ridiculous is fake, is not a real person? No. It's important that we understand that these people are real. It's the reason why that video was so shocking for me is because I knew that millions of real people were already cooking up the angles that they were going to use to justify it. Not just bots, not just a bunch of fucking brainless AI bots from a random rage bait farm. Real people. Real people are liking those posts, are commenting on those posts, are sharing those posts. And some of them are real because, like, we know they're real. This is Tommy Lahren. We know Tommy Lahren is real. Saying, guess what, Minnesota doesn't get to decide they want to opt out of federal immigration law, no matter how much they kick, scream, or martyr themselves. That's not how this works. And all for what? To protect illegal aliens and those defrauding the taxpayer? What the fuck? No. That's Tommy Lahren's response. That's the best she could come up with. I guess she couldn't really stomach getting on the internet and being like, well, that's what you get for shooting FAFO. Fuck around and find out. That's what you get for pulling your gun out and shooting a bunch of times at police officers. FAFO. I guess she couldn't really stomach doing that. But she gets on here and goes, you don't get to opt out of federal immigration law. No part of federal immigration law is tackling American citizens who are just standing clear of your operation and helping other people stand up who you pushed down. tackling those people, bear macing them, punching them in the face, and then shooting them in the face, and then shooting their lifeless corpse five times on the ground. That's not federal immigration law, Tommy. Every American citizen, not just Minnesotans, absolutely should have the right to opt out of that. And if we are deprived our right to not have that happen to us, there should, in a just world, in a just society, be some kind of accountability and justice. And there won't be, because of fucking inhuman freaks and ghouls like you. Tommy Lahren's real. The reporters at Fox News are real. Whoever runs the CNN official account on Threads, who posted this headline from fucking CNN, video shows the moment a federal agent shot and killed a 37-year-old man in Minneapolis. The victim was armed and resisting, according to the Department of Homeland Security, and it's unclear what led up to the deadly shooting. Fuck CNN, by the way. We got people in my comments right now saying, FAFO. God, the only thing I can, I just pray that people like you get to FAFO sooner than later. And this is, I mean, more proof of how inhuman the cult is. The cult has no humanity to speak of. They are, it is literally like if zombies could talk and every word they utter was poison. And so it's like worse than a zombie horde. It's worse than just an inhuman horde that goes around eating flesh. They're like going around killing people, but then bragging about it and lying about it and talking about it openly and being like, and like dancing about it. Yeah, fuck CNN. This is just a disgusting display of journalistic failure on their parts. Armed and resisting. I like that they add according to the Department of Homeland Security, because that's not technically incorrect, but they should be able to say, as journalists, as they should be able to investigate the situation and say the Department of Homeland Security lied and said the man was armed and resisting. He was not resisting and his gun was not drawn. But they should be able to say that, right? Like, they should be able to say, and like, I feel like sometimes journalists are like, well, I can't really editorialize. It's like, but you can say the truth. And the objective truth is that the Department of Homeland Security is lying here. And then this next sentence, this is where they really fuck up. And it's unclear what led up to the deadly shooting. It's not unclear. Couldn't be more clear. Crystal clear. Several angles where it is just unbelievably painfully clear what happened. Total failure from all of our mainstream outlets right now to accurately report this. And that's what makes this not just infuriating, but truly terrifying, is like the collapse of the press, that the press is capitulating to the authoritarian overreach and violence of the federal government. It makes it feel like we're so very much on our own. As though it didn't already feel that way, it feels so much more like that when you see mainstream media outlets that used to have some kind of credibility doing shit like this. But then Fox News, you know, of course, they were also like, well, this is what the Department of Homeland Security says, but of course they're going to say that. But let's actually watch this video of Kristi Noem's official statement.
The Department of Homeland Security law enforcement officials and officers were conducting targeted operations in Minneapolis against an illegal alien whose criminal history included domestic assault with intentionally inflicting bodily harm, disorderly conduct, and driving without a valid license.
Who the fuck cares? Who cares? What does this have to do with anything? This is a press conference about the fact that one of your agents murdered a man on camera. This whole like pretext of being like, well, we were there to apprehend a violent man. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. And the worst thing that they've got in there is like an assault charge. The other one is like driving on a suspended license. Who the fuck cares? Like, this whole thing of like establishing the pretext of being like, well, we were there to do something in an official capacity. I don't give a fuck. This is a press conference for you to talk about the fact that your agent shot a man in the face who wasn't posing them any threat. who was standing and filming at a safe distance, who was there to help.
An individual approached U.S. Border Patrol officers with a 9mm semi-automatic handgun.
Liar! It's the way that she phrases this, approached with a 9mm semi-automatic handgun, doesn't say tucked in his waistband, had a 9mm on him as a concealed carry, a legal concealed carry, that he was a legal concealed carry permit holder, words it as though, lying by omission, omits the part that it was concealed and that it was never brandished, words it as though he approached with it out, threatening them with it. Fucking liar. Approached with a camera in his hand. Never once brandished the weapon.
The officers attempted to disarm this individual, but the armed suspect reacted violently.
The officers did disarm this individual. He wasn't, first of all, the way that she lies by omission here, to say he approached with a 9mm weapon, and then the officers attempted to disarm him. The story she's telling is, the weapon is out, he's threatening them with it, they tried to get it out of his hands. It wasn't in his hands. He was filming from like 30 feet away. And then two people were pushed over by ICE agents. And while he was in the process of helping those people stand back up, he was attacked by several ICE agents who tackled him to the floor and disarmed him successfully. But it's not even disarming him because he didn't have the weapon in his hand. They pulled the weapon from his waistband. That is what the video evidence clearly, objectively shows. She says attempted to disarm, successfully were able to remove his firearm from his waistband.
Fearing for his life and for the lives of his fellow officers around him, an agent fired defensive shots.
Defensive shots. You gotta be fucking kidding me. Four people. Gang tackle this guy to the ground, bear mace him in the face, punch him in the face over and over again. One of them takes his firearm away. They back up and make space for him to get up on his knees just long enough for one of them to shoot him straight in the face and then shoot his lifeless body several more times. The lack of justice, the lack of accountability, the lack of clear, objective truth-telling is so deeply, deeply unsettling and infuriating. There are not words to describe how I feel about people like Kristi Noem and people who support her and the people who gobble up her fucking lies. The cult is the problem. The cult has been allowed to thrive and grow and fester and infect for way too long. He violently resisted. No, he didn't. Fucking liar. No, he didn't. Every aspect of that video is a lie. Every aspect of it, and she knows it. Pure evil right there. Pure, unfiltered poison and evil. Let's go back to all the people who were commenting. That's what happens when you bring a gun to a riot. When you bring a gun to a protest. FAFO. That's what happens. Fuck around and find out. That's what happens when you threaten law enforcement with a gun. The Venn diagram of people who think that Alex Pretty deserved to be murdered because he had a gun tucked in his waistband, and people who think that Kyle Rittenhouse is an American hero because he open carried a gun into a situation he had no business being in and then killed people there. The Venn diagram of those people is a perfect circle. They are the exact same people. They think that Kyle Rittenhouse is an American hero who had every right to open carry a rifle at 17 years old and walk around during an active protest and then shoot protesters and kill them and claim self-defense. They think he's an American hero for that and that he should be given money for the rest of his life because he did that. And they also think that Alex Pretty got exactly what he deserved for having a weapon tucked in his waistband while he filmed from a safe distance. There's no logic to the worldview of these people. There's no coherent moral glue to it. It's just depraved, unhinged, deranged psychopathy. But let's get back into this, because last week's episode, the last episode I did, was about self-defense. It was about how Jonathan Ross was claiming that killing Renee Good was self-defense. And we talked about multiple cases where police officers just use the magic words, I feared for my life, and they use that to get off with self-defense. And I talked about Kyle Rittenhouse there. And I got to say, there were a lot of people in my comments who kind of pissed me the fuck off. People in my audience who were like, yeah, good video, but I gotta disagree with your assessment of the Kyle Rittenhouse thing there. And I wanted to just talk to a few of these commenters. I wanted to take this opportunity because this episode is kind of, you know, it's a little loosey-goosey and it's a little less structured, but I felt like I would take this opportunity to respond to some of these people. One of these people said, I really don't want to defend Kyle, then don't. The end, then don't. Oh, I really don't want to defend Kyle, but don't. Just shut the fuck up then. But they had to keep going. But carrying a weapon is not a threat. I can't remember the details of that case, but the sequence of events, as you described, showed up legally carrying a weapon, was attacked, shot the attacker, that's self-defense. Threatening or pointing it at people is a different story, but you keep saying he was the aggressor just because he had a firearm, which is not what the law says. People don't have the right to attack someone just because they're open carrying. Okay. God, this shit pissed me off so bad because obviously the situation matters, right? We went through in that episode the legal definition of self-defense and how it says that you are not entitled to make a self-defense claim if you are the initial aggressor. If the other person is defending themselves against you and the threat you pose, and then you defend yourself back and kill them, you don't get to claim self-defense because you were the one who initiated and introduced lethal harm into the situation. What this person is talking about is such a, like, pedantic letter of the law versus the principle of the law kind of argument that's so fucking frustrating. Because, yeah, technically that what they say here is showed up legally carrying a weapon. So, in Wisconsin, a minor, a 17-year-old, is not supposed to be allowed to legally open carry a lot of different weapons, but, and this just shows that little Piglet Rittenhouse knows how to do his research, and this all proves my theory that Kyle Rittenhouse's murders in Wisconsin were premeditated. He went there with the intent of killing, and he knew what the law said so that he could get away with it legally. So, first of all, there is, in Wisconsin law, they generally prohibit individuals under the age of 18 from possessing a dangerous weapon, but it includes exceptions for minors aged 16 or 17 if they're carrying rifles or shotguns that are not short-barreled rifles. And so they have to be at least a 16-inch long barrel, and guess how long the barrel on Kyle Rittenhouse's weapon was? It was exactly 16 inches. So he went through his armory at home and made sure he was carrying the one weapon that he was legally allowed to open carry, but that's because he knew what he was going there to do. This is my hope. The whole point of that video is the way that people will disingenuously use the concept of self-defense to manufacture consent for premeditated murder. That they will go, I know what the law says I'm allowed to do, and get away with. So I'm going to manufacture a scenario where I can make sure I'm checking all of the boxes of the law and get away with premeditated murder. Kyle Rittenhouse went there with the intent to kill protesters. He knew that he couldn't shoot first, that he was going to need to make sure he was in a scenario where he was being threatened first, and he knew that technically the law there said that he's allowed to open carry, but he was waiting for his moment. I talked about this in the last episode. It's the exact same scenario as when Sherry Lawrence killed AJ Chantrell Owens in Florida, that she was like, well, I know what the law says, which is that I'm allowed to stand my ground in Florida, so I'm going to create a situation. I'm going to manufacture a situation where AJ's going to be mad enough at me to come and attack me. I'm going to throw some roller skates at her kids, piss her off, and get her to come over to my house. The only reason why Sherry was convicted of manslaughter is because she had called the police so many times before that they didn't buy her bullshit story, and also her door was locked. So they were kind of like, hey, if AJ had managed to break your door down and had come at you with like a weapon, like a knife or something, then you would maybe be able to claim the stand your ground law. But because you shot through a locked door and it was a situation that you created, we're not going to give this one to you. But that's exactly what Jonathan Ross did when he killed Renee Good. Jonathan Ross trains other ICE agents in how to deal with situations, specifically including gun violence and when people are using a car as a weapon. He knows more than anyone else that you are not supposed to position yourself in front of the car. Nobody was positioned in front of Renee Nicole Good's car. She was not aiming her car at any ICE agents until the very last moments of that interaction, when Jonathan Ross put himself in front of the car and drew his weapon before the car had even moved. He was putting himself where he knew he needed to be to make the claim. So my problem with these commenters is, like, you're missing the whole fucking point of the video. The point of the video is that people will use the technical letter of the law to manufacture a scenario where they get to carry out premeditated murder. Jonathan Ross had already decided he was going to kill Renee Nicole Good. We know that because he switched the camera in his hand, the phone that he was holding, to his left hand so that his right hand would be free to unholster his weapon. And he drew his weapon before her car started to move, right after he positioned himself in the exact spot he would need to be in to claim self-defense. It was premeditated murder with a plan to be able to use self-defense as a defense. And that's what Kyle Rittenhouse did. Went there knowing I need a 16-inch long barrel so that I'm technically allowed to carry this as a 17-year-old, and then he waited for his moment where he could use the letter of the law to get away with carrying out premeditated murder. You know how I fucking know this? Because Kyle Rittenhouse is all over the internet lately bragging about the fact that he got away with premeditated murder. And that's why when you say, I really don't want to defend Kyle, I go, then fucking don't. Because he's on the internet right now posting pictures of himself in front of, like, Gatling guns and going, hey guys, what do you think? Should I head over to Minneapolis? Thinking about heading down to Minneapolis right now. What do you guys think? What if I showed up in Minnesota? He's literally on the internet going, I got away with premeditated murder once. Should I go do it again? He's OJ Simpson writing the If I Did It book. Remember that when OJ Simpson was like, I'm not saying I did it, but if I did, here's a book about what I would have done had I done it. That's what Kyle Rittenhouse is doing right now. He's playing in your fucking face. He's posting photos of himself going, like, if that were me, if that were any humane person who just found themselves in an unfortunate situation where they were getting attacked by people on the street and they had to defend themselves and use lethal force to do so, you would go underground and spend the rest of your life trying to process emotionally what happened that night. Not Rittenhouse. He wanted to murder someone that night, and he got away with it, and now he's on the internet bragging about it and going, should I do it again? Round two? Should we go round two? It's not just that he's open carrying on a random Tuesday afternoon just walking down the street and a bunch of random people just jumped him, and a guy with a skateboard just ran up and started hitting him with the skateboard. The scenario matters. This was a televised event on national television. Everyone in the world, or at least everyone in the country, knew what was going on there. They knew that a violent protest had broken out, and that there was violent clashes between law enforcement and the protesters, and that there were buildings being with windows being broken, and there was looting taking place. He knew exactly the situation he was walking into, and in that situation, the rules change, because in that situation, seeing a guy in, like, military garb carrying a rifle walking around is a threat. He is there with the specific intention of, I'm here to kill people. I'm here to kill the criminals, the looters, the people who are breaking windows. I'm here to inflict, as Christy Noem said, maximum damage. I'm showing up to inflict maximum damage with this gun. The scenario fucking matters. And honestly, I said this again in that video, I don't fucking care what the letter of the law says. I care about the fucking principle of the law. Because this is another thing that I kept seeing more and more of. We're going to read one more of these comments from another person who was like, I hate to defend him, but this person goes, listen, I get what you are saying, but unfortunately you live in a shithole country where open carry in that state is not illegal. So it's not legally considered aggressing to be holding a firearm. Also, he testified he wasn't holding the firearm with intent to kill people. He had brought it because he knew the riots were dangerous and he wanted to have it for self-defense. Oh, he testified. Oh, he said that he didn't intend to use it. He just brought it because he knew the situation he was walking into. Not a random kid walking around on a random afternoon who just randomly got attacked by a random group of people. He knew exactly the situation he was walking into. I don't give a fuck that his testimony says, I had no intention of using it. He did. And again, he's on the internet bragging about it in your face. He's playing in your fucking face and you're going, well, unfortunately, I am obligated to defend him. Unfortunately, the letter of the law says that actually he's well within his rights. Why are his victims not within their rights? Why do they wait? Why do they need to wait until the first shot? Which, by the way, actually, the second group, the group that chased him down, had waited till the first shot. There already was an initial shot from Rittenhouse when the second group chased him down. When he started running and he was chased by the group, it was because he had already shot somebody. Yeah, he was attacked by a guy, but it's a guy who was in a very hostile situation, who saw a kid who looked like a fucking active shooter, looked like your typical conservative Christian active shooter, MAGA chud, walking around with a gun, and that scared him. Why is that guy not allowed to be afraid for his life in that situation? Why is that person not allowed self-defense? And then furthermore, once the first shot has been taken, why is the group that chases him down not entitled to try to defend themselves? I feel like a lot of people have this idea with self-defense that it's like, it's this really fucked up, weird justification that's like, tie goes to the survivor. It's this mindset that's like, if two people are involved in a violent conflict and they both claim self-defense, tie goes to the survivor. Whoever survives gets to claim self-defense in court and get off scot-free. And that's so fucking stupid. Because the reality of the situation is, if Kyle Rittenhouse had not been in that city on that night, nobody would have died. None of that would have happened. He is the reason those people are dead. He went there with the premeditated intent to look for a scenario where he could claim self-defense and then kill someone using the letter of the law to get off. I don't give a fuck that he was psychologically damaged by it. I don't care that after carrying out the premeditated murder, he threw up at the police station and he cried for like 3 weeks straight. I don't give a fuck. I hope he did. Lots of people carry out premeditated murder and later are surprised at how much it psychologically fucks them up. Lots of people think that they're tougher than they actually are. I don't care that he was psychologically hurt by the result of his actions. The fact remains those people would be alive if he had not been there. And I just, man, all those comments, I had so many comments on that video from people who were like, well, technically... Technically, shut the fuck up. What are you doing? Why are you still running cover for this motherfucker? He's on the internet bragging and saying, should I do it again? And you're going, technically, he had the right to the first time. Pull your fucking head out of your ass and join us in reality, please. Kyle Rittenhouse's victims had every right to fear him in that scenario. Walking down the street in the middle of the day, I still think it's a fucked up move. I still think that when conservative chuds walk around with their guns and their flak jackets in the middle of the day in an open carry city, I find it incredibly off-putting and incredibly threatening. I know that the law doesn't say it's technically a threat and that I'm not allowed to attack them for out of fear for my life. The law says I'm not allowed to, but I find it incredibly threatening.
How the fuck am I supposed to know that just because they're carrying it like this, they're not going to pick it up like this at some point? How am I supposed to know that they're not going to start firing at a moment's notice? Every active shooter starts off as a person who's just open carrying. Every person who commits a mass shooting, before they fire their first shot, they start off as just a person who's walking around with an open carry. How am I supposed to know that's not who that is? In the scenario that Kyle Rittenhouse was in, where he admits, where he testified that he knew he was going into a dangerous scenario, how is anyone in that scenario supposed to know that he's not an active shooter who is threatening their lives? He was counting on it. He was counting on them seeing him as a threat so that he could use self-defense as a justification and get off and get away with premeditated murder. Here's the part of the self-defense conversation where I have to reiterate that while I do believe the victims of Kyle Rittenhouse had every right to defend themselves against them, the problem is we as citizens have no right to defend ourselves against law enforcement. And that is a massive, massive problem. I talked about this on the last episode, but boy, it bears repeating today. The federal government is claiming that the murder of Alex Pretty was defensive. They were defensive shots. The man was completely unarmed. He was completely defenseless. And he was doing nothing to threaten them or antagonize them. He was there to help. He was there to pick people up off the street and help people get back on their feet and to film. And they're claiming it was defensive. Here's the problem. Because the question keeps coming up, well, why'd he have the gun? Why'd he have the gun? Because he's an American citizen and he's legally allowed to. He's legally allowed to have a concealed carry for his own defense. He's allowed to. But the problem is, even if he had gotten his gun out because his life was being threatened, because he was being attacked by four murderers in masks who were bear macing him and punching him in the face, even if he had gone for his weapon, he didn't. But even if he had, he's not legally allowed to defend himself in that situation. The moment they decided to jump him, his life was over. And he has no legal recourse to stop anything that happens next. That's what's so fucking crazy too to me about the people who are like, well, technically Rittenhouse was defending his life. Is like, you don't even want to engage with philosophically how fucked up the application of self-defense as a legal concept is in this country. Because it's haphazardly applied to us as citizens. And usually like we wind up with situations like Rittenhouse where people are going to abuse the concept so that they can get away with premeditated murder. But then when it comes to law enforcement, we have no recourse. We have absolutely no right to defend ourselves. The moment they decided that they were going to tackle Alex, hold him down, and beat him and kill him, his only legal recourse is to let them. Do you understand how fucked up that is? Let that sink in. His only legal recourse in that scenario is to let them. And this is also the people who say comply or die. Just comply with the orders. Compliance means death in that scenario. If he just sits there and lets them, which he more or less did, he's dead either way. They were going to kill him no matter what. And like I said earlier, when I watched the video and I thought, what are they going to come up with here? So they came up with resisting because he didn't just let them do it like butter. He didn't just let them take him down nice and easy, really calmly. There was just like the slightest bit of resistance and like twitching as they bear maced him and beat him. But I genuinely believe that even in the world where they come over and they tackle him and he doesn't resist at all, puts his hands up and just sits there and just says, I'm not resisting, over and over again with his eyes closed. Even if he said, please don't hurt me, please, I'm not resisting, doesn't do anything, he's still dead in that scenario. And you know what's really crazy? They're still going to find a way to lie about it. They would still find something. They would find an angle. Renee Good was a sobering moment. It was a moment that we had all been waiting for. We felt like the escalation of violence from the state, the $75 billion increase to ICE's budget, the masks, the children in zip ties, the concentration camps, the disappearances and kidnappings with no due process. We felt it was all leading to this, that American citizens were going to start being shot in the street by these thugs and criminals. And now, just a few short weeks later, it's happened again and worse. And it's only going to continue. There will be no accountability for this. It's only going to continue, and it's only going to escalate. So what's next? I can't say what the plan of action here is. I can't say what our recourse is. I can't say what the solution is. All I am here to do today is say what is true, say what happened, name it, say it clearly and boldly, and refuse to capitulate to these disgusting lies. I'm here to mourn with you. I'm here, at least for the moment, to be a little lost and scared and sad and angry with you. So let's hear what you all have to say. Let's go to the TikTok Digital Studio audience. Lunar Wave says, general strike nationwide. Here's the thing about the strikes that have been planned in Minnesota is they have the backing of the labor unions, and that's why they actually really have a legitimate shot at being successful. I don't disagree that we should some kind of mass political action like this, some kind of mass general strike, but you need to do it. You need to organize it. It can't, like, so often when people talk about general strike, when we've seen this term come up over the last 10 years at various points, it's just sort of people on social media being like, hey, on January 28th, it's National Strike Day. But there's no, like there's no coordination. It's just like a couple hundred people being like, we're all doing it. Everyone's doing it. And failing to realize that the country consists of 350 million people. The strikes in Minnesota, it's a coordinated attempt between labor unions and teachers unions and all different kinds of unions, so that like they're actually doing school walkouts from teachers and students. They're doing labor walkouts from multiple different job sites. And you need to get this thing coordinated on a level where like it's signed off on by people who actually have authority and power to make sure that it really hits, that it's not just like a small handful of people calling out from work and like not showing up. Like it needs, like, because I agree with you. I don't disagree. It's just that like it needs to be organized and done properly if it's going to have any kind of an effect. Anima says, very apprehensive about hearing the audio on Preddy's phone video. I'll say this. I saw the Charlie Kirk footage once, and once was enough. I didn't need to see it again. It is horrific, terrifyingly disturbing footage, and it's tattooed in my brain. There's images like that that I've seen over the years in my life that's like, once was enough. I watched the Alex Preddy video twice today. I made myself watch it a second time. I don't know that I care to keep watching it or revisiting it. If it's important to you to hear what's on that footage, I feel like you should do what you feel like you need to do. But also I would say that like we all already know. The footage we've seen is plenty clear. We don't need additional angles. We don't need additional perspectives. It couldn't be more clear what happened. But surely that footage will come out at some point. And what you look at and what you watch is up to you. I'll say this in regards to the Kirk footage as well. I wish the nation across the political spectrum was responding to this a little bit more the way that I saw people respond to Charlie Kirk, where they were like, hey, whoa, regardless of, you know, because here's the thing about Charlie Kirk is what happened to him in that video is disgusting. But Charlie Kirk was a disgusting human being. I don't mince words about that. Charlie Kirk was a disgusting human being. And what he was in the act of doing was disgusting. Someone asked him a question about how many mass shooters have been trans. And his answer was too many. Piece of shit. It's a lie. It's a lie. Not too many. Barely any at all. Like, statistically negligible. Statistically, over the last 25 years, it's essentially zero. It happens so rarely that it's statistically almost zero. And his answer was too many. So he started off by scapegoating. Just got my live visibility restricted because, of course, I did. Started off by scapegoating trans people and trying to say that too many of them are violent, even though the vast majority of mass shooters are white, Christian, conservative men, because of course they are. And then he said, how much are we counting gang violence? He was in the process of doing a really old turnaround and grift that he likes to run, which is scapegoating people of color and black people and Latino people. How much of that is gang violence? In the middle of scapegoating marginalized communities for gun violence that is overwhelmingly perpetrated by white, straight, Christian, conservative men, and he's trying to dump it off on marginalized communities of color as he gets shot. The shooting itself, horrifying. The man was a piece of shit. Total piece of shit, irredeemable. Today what we see is an ICU nurse who spends his life days saving lives there to administer aid to people, to help, to be a helper, was in the act of helping. Charlie Kirk, in the act of lying, in the act of spreading racist propaganda, in the act of spreading transphobic propaganda and transphobic hate, in the act of being a soulless bigot. Alex, in the act of being a helper, of being a person who's there to lift people up off the street, to make sure that people get home safely. And I know that a lot of us are responding to Alex Preddy's murder appropriately, but boy, the amount of ghouls and freaks that are saying FAFO and stuff, my God. Reggie B says it was homicide. No doubt about that, Reggie B. The video evidence is indisputable and clear and horrifying and traumatic. The other Jason says Kirk was one of theirs. Alex wasn't. That's the difference. They see the left as subhuman. Yeah, I understand that. And that's that like weird thing of like, are we truly, because I see them as subhuman now. Like, I genuinely see the Trump cult, I talked about that at length on the episode today, as like they've completely buried their humanity under years of conditioning and neglect, and they've lost touch with what makes a human being a human being. But so this idea, you know, like that, like, well, they see us as less than human. I'm like, yeah, I know the feeling. I know the feeling. But that's what's weird, is it was all these apolitical people coming out of the work when Charlie Kirk died, people who are like, hey, I'm not left or right. I'm not Republican or Democrat. Or like, hey, I don't talk about politics, but I think we should all be able to agree on this. That I'm like, where are you now? Where are you now? Because I see the usual suspects out there. I see the people like me. I see the people with the platforms, the leftists and the liberals getting out here and saying what we need to say. And I see the people who are like in my audience saying what they need to say. But I don't see all those people who are like, I'm not political, but I think we all got to agree that what happened to Charlie Kirk was a tragedy. Where are you today? Obviously, the cult is going to do cult shit. But where are you centrists and moderates and apolitical people who stay out of politics? What's your take on this? Average Andrew says, both executed for expressing First Amendment. Don't draw lines like that. It's not helpful. Yes, it is. I disagree with you, Average Andrew. It is helpful to point out the difference between a person like Alex Preddy and Charlie Kirk. What's not helpful is pretending that they're the same. Pretending that there's no meaningful difference between them. pointing out the fact that conservatives were in mourning, and then, you know, did a national tour with fireworks and glitter suits, and you know, and pointing out the fact that they thought it was disgusting that there's no place for political violence like this, and now they're saying FAFO. Charlie Kirk wasn't murdered for carrying out his First Amendment right. That's also a lie. That's also a fucking lie. That it's just this whole idea of like he was just talking. It was just ideas. This whole fucking childish, naive, stupid fucking concept that like words can't hurt. That words are just words. That opinions are just opinions and thoughts are just thoughts. Ideas are just ideas is so fucking like get out of the goddamn sandbox and join us in adult reality. If you can't make the direct link between the words that he spoke, the ideas that he pushed into the world, and the violence that those ideas created, you're not a serious person. Alex Preddy was exercising his First Amendment right to observe, to just document the crimes of the federal government, to just make sure that the crimes of the federal government were on record. He's a fucking brave person and a hero. Charlie Kirk is a coward and a bigot and a piece of shit. Don't ever tell me not to draw those lines. I will always draw those lines. Because it's honest and it matters. The distinction matters. They're not just two people who were both exercising their First Amendment. One of them was spouting hateful, bigoted, bullshit rhetoric that he had spent his entire life spewing into the world, engendering the concept that trans people are a violent problem, that people of color and gangs are a violent problem, and it's not conservative Christian white men who are the problem. Spouting lies. And the other one was there to document truth and to tell the truth, and that distinction fucking matters. Get Low says the government and Israel took him out to make him a martyr. I don't know what the fuck happened. I don't know if I believe that Tyler Robinson did it. I don't know. All I know is that, like, I don't trust Kash Patel's FBI to solve shit. You know, when we first saw the casings that had all the memes written on it, it was like, oh, that's interesting. So is it a Groyper? Like, what's going on here? And then, like, all of a sudden, every mass shooter has engravings on their casings, and it's like, yeah, actually, that's not a thing, is it? Like, after every death, like, there's just casings with engravings of like, here's why I did it, and they were finding those like immediately, and it's like, yeah, that's actually if there's a pattern, it seems like the investigators at the FBI are the ones doing that. I'm not saying what happened, I'm just saying I don't know. How come you have like a million followers and only 200 people watching your live? That's because TikTok heavily suppresses my content, my channel, and they always have. Nothing I can do about it. You know, there are periods where TikTok will allow my channels to be viable, allow certain videos of mine to go somewhat viral. But for the most part, they suppress my channel pretty heavily and do everything they can to keep my content down. This is where I'll say something that feels a little maybe gauche or tactless on this episode, but it is something that's like, it's important to the work that I do. Unfortunately, like one of the hard things, I was at breakfast this morning because it was my birthday today, and I was at breakfast and I was like talking to my partner and I said, I hate that I'm going to have to go and like make content about this because I hate that like part of my job is I have to like jump on the internet and have something to say about shit like this because I don't really have anything to say other than it makes me sick and it's disgusting. But it is, you know, like there are people like me who have been given a platform to talk about stuff like this, and that platform only exists through community support. Like, I only have this as long as you guys are watching and as long as you are supporting it. TikTok, I can't control the algorithms, and the algorithms do everything they can to take the platform away. But you can find me on Patreon. And what I've done on my Patreon is I have made it as inobtrusive as possible to support me there. It's $1 a month, and it's $10 for an entire year. It's an amount of money that, like, every month you shouldn't even notice it. Like, it shouldn't even be something you need to worry about. But if enough people that follow me do it, it means that, like, I get to pay my rent and keep doing this as my job. I'm not getting rich. I feel like there's this really callous attitude out there right now of a lot of people, like, looking at all of the content creators who have gone to Minnesota, like Good Trouble and all of these people who are there, and they're like, oh, so you're just there for clout. You're just there for attention. And it's like, what the fuck do you want us to do? Do you want us to not say anything? Do you want us to not be there? Do you want us to not be on the front lines of this stuff? Like, in my opinion, what Good Trouble and what those people are doing is incredibly brave. Not only are they using their platforms to try to make sure that this stuff is documented and heard and seen, but they're putting their physical safety on the line, as we saw today. There's no reason why they couldn't be the next Alex Pretty. But I think a lot of people are frustrated and mad right now. So when they see people like me saying stuff like this, like patreon.com/AustinArcher, it's like, oh, so it's all about the money. It's like, no, it's not all about the money, but I live in a capitalistic world and I have to make money in order to do this as my job. Some money at all. And I've literally made my Patreon a dollar. It's a dollar a month. And people are just like, can't do it. I'm like, and I don't believe it. I just am like, I you can, you won't. But like, I've done it so that it's like, sorry, I'm a lot more chill about this, but I feel embarrassed that I even have to bring it up. But it is like how this work gets done. You know, it's how I do this as my job. Anyway, that's the Patreon spiel. All of my content goes there. Early bonus content, exclusive content. You don't miss any of it. The algorithm doesn't hide it from you. And it's a dollar. It's an amount of money that, like, when it gets debited out of your account every month, you shouldn't even notice it. Chloe Jacobs says, imagine thinking people are putting themselves in mortal danger for TikTok clout. Yeah, you know, like, that's the thing, is I'm not physically there right now, but the amount of footage of me online and posts of me on threads and things where I am saying very clearly my thoughts on the federal government and not mincing words, they could use any of that as a rationalization to come and get me. And I know that. I know that I put myself in danger by doing that. And I do it because I have the privilege of having a platform and an audience. So I try to use the platform to tell the truth and be honest. Anyway, but people just get, it's like, oh, you're just here for clout. You're just here for money. It's like, God, I could do so many other things for money, and I could probably make better money. I don't make good money. there was a couple of years where I made decent money doing this, but now it's like, I'm kind of barely scraping by. Anyway, whatever. Jenny from the block says, talk about how they need to realize ICE is part of the game of keeping us divided. Yeah, I fucking hate that. I hate when I see, like, the cult loves to jump in my comments and be like, your content just divides people. You're so divisive. I've talked a lot lately about all of the tone policing that I've been experiencing over the last year and change, that people in my family, people in my friend group, people, just people in random commenters, are mad that my rhetoric is too charged, that it's too angry, that it's too divisive. And the thing is like, I'm not saying this shit apropos of nothing. I'm not just saying it just because. I'm not just out here making divisive content because I want to. I'm responding to the circumstances I find myself in. Would that they were different. I don't want to be trapped in this fucking nightmare. But here I am. Here we all are. And I'm just responding to what I'm seeing. It's, you know, it's again, it's like, it's the blaming of the victim. Kyle Rittenhouse shows up with a gun at a situation he knows is dangerous. People respond by going like, what the fuck? Like, there's a guy walking around with a gun here. They try to take him down. And then he's like, why are you attacking me? He knew exactly what he was doing. I'm just responding. You know, ICE, they're dividing us. If you're upset about the division, it's a top-down issue. The powers that be, the federal government, the reason why they indoctrinate you with lies, the reason why they condition you to forget your humanity, is so that they can divide us into people who care about the truth and people who don't. But the division should not be between us. It should be between all of us and them. The very few, small group of them. Because they know that if we ever get on the same page, they're fucked. Ferdy Dressed Extra Pickles says, a society can't tolerate Nazis. You necessarily have to be divisive about that, and I couldn't agree more. The amount of like friends that I grew up with and different people who are like the whole like you're being divisive thing, it's like I have to be divisive and draw a hard line when it comes to are you supporting the authoritarian fascist takeover of the country or not? Do you oppose the violence from the state or not? Do you oppose the Nazis or not? I have to. It's not that I want to. It's not that I enjoy it. It's like today, people, it's like, you know, like, I wish I could enjoy my fucking birthday. I would love it if I could just have a nice birthday. But I don't get to have that in a world like this. And I can't just turn it off. I can't just go, I'm just going to not care today. Pissed Off Gen Xer says, do you think they are doing this to instigate the people so much that he can call martial law? Sure, why not? I don't know. I don't think that they actually need much of a justification to do that if they want. And I also feel like it already basically is martial law. Like ICE is a masked paramilitary, insanely funded operation that's just going around unilaterally executing American citizens in the streets on camera with no repercussions. I don't know. I mean, it's going to escalate, but like, Sure, the idea is to instigate, is to provoke a reaction from us. But at some point, I think that we will have to react. We'll have no choice but to react. Introvertebrate says, they called us terrorists for wanting the Constitution to be upheld. They're really abusing that word lately, aren't they? Domestic terrorist. I'm going to make this my last thought, and then I'm going to sign off. The largest group of domestic terrorists in the country right now are the federal government, not just ICE, not just the police, the entire federal government. The FBI is taken over by loyalists to a Nazi regime. The entire DOJ is compromised. They don't listen to the judicial branch of government. The judicial branch has ordered them to release the unredacted Epstein files, and they are not doing it because there is no penalty for them to disobey those orders. They own the DOJ. The entire executive branch is compromised. The Supreme Court is compromised. The Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency is their latest brute squad. But they are all a heavily funded, insanely powerful gang of domestic terrorists who are carrying out daily acts of domestic terror. They fit the textbook definition of domestic terrorism. And they are living in a full opposite world where everything they say is the complete opposite of the truth. Okay, that's it. Thanks everybody for your feedback. Thanks for watching. I'm really sorry that this is happening. People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. You can find more of my music by going to austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com. It's linked in the description, patreon.com/austinarcher. Memberships start at just $1 a month. You can really help this work and help these channels grow by just checking out those links. Like, share, comment, subscribe, all that stuff. Until next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and try your best to be safe out there. Okay, bye-bye.